Well, glory to God. God is so good, and I'm telling you, my heart is so full. You know, I used to laugh at Pastor Rob all the time because he would say that. I don't know if y'all have ever picked up on that, but he would get up there and sometimes, not every time, but he'd say, my heart's so full. And I'd say, oh, come on, that's just something you say, you know. But it's true. I'm a witness. My heart is so full of stuff, and I've got so many things that I want to get over. But the Holy Spirit quickened me. He said, Todd, just slow down. Just relax, because what we're going to talk about is very important, and I don't want to just buzz by something. Okay? So, if I get worked up, y'all just slow down. Slow down. Slow down. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. I'm going to just recap a couple things that we talked about last week to get your thinking back straight on, or at least not straight, just get your thinking back to where we were and what we were talking about. Anybody remember? I'm not going to quiz you. Hey. I did give you a pop quiz last week, though. No pop quizzes this week. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19 and 20 reads like this, and let me read this out of the Amplified, if I could. It says, I call heaven and earth to witness this day against you that I have set before you life and death, the blessings and the curses. Therefore choose life that you and your descendants may live. And may love the Lord your God, obey his voice, and cling to him. For he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's saying all heaven is called to witness our choice. Did y'all get that? All heaven is called to witness our choice. It is our choice whether we choose life or whether we choose death. Are we choosing to live and to love God? And then we talked about how do we choose life? Okay, the Word, God Himself is encouraging us to choose life. So how do we do that? What's the practicality of that? You know, that's nice to say, yes, I choose life. But what does that mean exactly? How do we do that? And we went to Proverbs chapter 18, and we looked at this verse. Proverbs 18. Again, just a little recap to get us back on. Our thinking caps back on. 18 verse 20. And again, out of the Amplified, it says, a man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth. We're talking about choosing life. A man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth and with the consequence of his words. He must be satisfied, whether good or evil, whether life or death. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it for death or life. So how do we choose life? With our words. We speak life forth with our words. Or we can speak death forth with our words, right? And in Proverbs right there says we'll eat the fruit of it, right? You've ever heard that saying, a dog returns to his own vomit? So if we speak words of death, we're vomiting up death. And it says we'll eat the fruit of it, so we're going to return to those words. That's not a good picture, is it? Nobody wants to eat their own vomit. No. No, dogs seem to like it for some reason. So we need to make choices, right? It's all about our choices, choices that lead to life by speaking them out of your mouth. So today what I want to get to is I want to talk about believing is speaking. Believing is speaking. If you turn to Romans chapter 10 with me. Believing is speaking. Romans chapter 10. Again, this is, I am telling you, this is a critical message for the season that the church is in. The power of our words, life, speaking life, okay? For the season that the church is in and is coming into, it is very important. So I hope you're listening. I hope you got, everybody got their listening ears on. Amen. Romans 10, verse 8 reads this way, and I'm going to read down through 10. It says, out of the Amplified, it says, but what does it say? The word, God's message in Christ, is near you, on your lips, and in your heart. That is the word, the message, the basis and object of faith which we preach. Because if you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and in your heart believe, adhere to, trust in, and rely on the truth that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes and so is justified, that is declared righteous, acceptable to God. And with the mouth he confesses, declares openly, and speaks out freely his faith and confirms his salvation. Now, I know all of you are probably familiar with when you got born again, you know? I mean, well, some of you may have had someone lead you in a prayer, right? If you just believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Amen? And so, if we do that, if that's how our whole base, the whole basis for our relationship with God starts there. Right? Starts there at the point of our salvation. When we become born again, we become a new creature. Well, how did it happen? We believed, we spoke. We believed, we spoke. That's how it happened. So, believing and speaking. Believing and speaking. Turn to Mark chapter 11. Now, I know y'all know this. Bob, I know you know this one. Don't you? We got another Rhema graduate in the room. She probably knows this one too. I won't embarrass them and point them out. But I want y'all to love on them before you leave today. Mark chapter 11. I'm getting there. I can't talk and flip at the same time. My wife knows this about me, right? I'm not a multitasker. I got to focus in on one thing. If I'm turning to a scripture, I got to keep my mouth shut and turn. Or talk and not turn. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. See, I'm not even there yet. And let me read this here out of the Amplified as well. Where am I at? 22. And Jesus, replying, said to them, have faith in God constantly. Truly, I tell you, whoever, what? Says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt where? In their heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. For this is the reason I am telling you. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you and you will get it. Believe, speak, and you will get it. Believe, speak, and you will get it. Now, I believe it has to be according to his will. Let's not get off on some fairy tale thing, right? It has to be according to the will of God. But if you believe it in your heart, speak it out of your mouth, it says you'll get it. This is not my opinion. This is the word of God. And I believe that we have tried to explain that away. You know, people believing for something and they say it and they don't get it and they try to explain it away. Right? I mean, we heard in class this morning how people try to explain it away by saying, oh, well, God's in control. Well, guess what? He's not. You and I, born again believers, We have authority in this earth. It's the same. Nothing has changed. When God gave authority to Adam and Eve, that was His plan. That has never changed. Now Satan came in and threw a wrench into it all, but Jesus came back and bought it for us back with His own blood, and now we have the ability to be in authority again, but it is a choice. It is our choice. Our choice. Turn to 2 Corinthians. I know I'm going to go through a lot of scripture, but again, it's foundational. I think, if anything, just write these references down so that you can go back to them. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 13 out of the Amplified says, "Yet we have the same spirit of faith as He had who wrote, 'I have believed, and therefore have I spoken.' So we too believe, and therefore we speak." We believe. And we speak. We believe. And we speak. What are you believing for today? And if you're believing for it, is it according to the Word of God? And then if it's according to the Word of God, are you speaking it out of your mouth? Right? How did God create the universe? He spoke it into existence. Is there something in your life that you're lacking that God's Word says that you can have? Then speak it into existence in your life. Choose life. Choose life. Turn back to Psalms 116. Psalms 116. I'm going to start in verse 1. I don't know if I put that up there, but I'm going to start in verse 1. 116 verse 1 out of the Amplified reads, "I love the Lord because He has..." What? "Heard" what? "My voice." Come on, y'all, help me out. "He has heard my voice. I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplications. Because He has inclined His ear to me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The cords and sorrows of death were around me, and the terrors of Sheol, the place of the dead, had laid hold of me. I suffered anguish and grief, trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. I spoke." He spoke. "O Lord, I beseech you, save my life and deliver me. Gracious is the Lord and rigidly righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and He helped and saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my life from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling and falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, I trusted in, relied on, and clung to my God, and therefore have I spoken, even when I said, 'I am greatly afflicted.'" Even in His time of trial, even in your time of tribulation, even when you think you're not going to get out of this thing, believe and speak it forth. And it will be done. It will be done. It will be done. So life and death are placed before us, and we are to choose life by speaking it. And not only speaking it, but believing it. Believing it in our heart. Psalm 118, you don't have to turn there. Verse 17 says, "I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord." Well, then we can ascertain the same truth that choosing death, when we choose death and speak it out of our mouth and believe it in our heart, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? You know, I think all of y'all know when I had that, I was trying to think of the fancy medical term for it, the brain bleed, subarachnoid hemorrhage. Immediately, Nikki and I started praying. When that sensation first came on me, immediately we started praying. And then when we got to the hospital, I mean, this is the phrase, and I think I've shared this, but I think it bears repeating here. This is the phrase, and I don't know if I even shared it with Nikki. This is the phrase that continually ran through my mind over and over. I shall live and not die. I shall live and not die. I shall live and not die. I mean, I couldn't stop repeating it. You know, I wasn't speaking it audibly, but I was speaking it to myself. And I may have said it audibly several times. I don't know. I shall live and not die. But what are we speaking? When we get in those situations, you know, you hear bad news of a loved one or a relative that, I don't know, is in a car accident. What's coming out of your mouth? You know, you get a bad report. The doctor says cancer is in your body. What is coming out of your mouth when you hear that? You know, if you get the sniffles and you're sneezing and you're sick, when you first feel that coming on, what is coming out of your mouth? You got to cast that thing down immediately. Immediately. I believe timing is key, because the longer you wait, the stronger the foothold that gets into you. And yes, so you can overcome it. Yes, absolutely. But how much better to jump on it right away? What is coming out of our mouth when these things happen to us? When tragedy befalls us, what are we speaking out of our mouth? Are you speaking words of life? I shall live and not die. My friend shall live and not die. Or are you speaking death? I mean... You know, social media is good for a lot of things. And we're using it. We're endeavoring to use it to promote the gospel, the word of God. But it can also be entertaining. I'll admit, there are times when I watch these little video vines or whatever. And there's some where they're and it's in Florida. We know where this is. But there's this thing that you get inside this ball, this crate-looking thing, this chair. And it's like on a big rubber band, and they pull you down, and then they shoot you up. Y'all ever seen that? Anybody ever done it? Well, on these videos, I mean, almost every time. Oh, I'm going to die! I'm going to die! I'm going to die! But, you know, there's some reality to that. I know that's all in jest and humorous, and I laugh. But there's a reality to that. What are we speaking? What words are we speaking? Listen, we've got to not be... We got to be slow to speak sometimes, because human nature wants to just spit out the first thing that's on our mind, you know, and the first thing that comes to our mind. But we need to slow down, right? Process. My wife and kid love it when I process. They'll ask me a question. I must get some weird look on my face. Like, don't worry, Dad's just processing. He'll talk to you in a minute about it. But we do. We need to process sometimes so that we can get our words aligned with what the Word of God says about that situation, and then speak those words forth instead of the first thing that comes to our brain. Amen? I'm telling you, words. Words are so important. So important. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Is that clock right? 10 to 11? Wow, y'all. You're going to get it all. You're going to get it all. Ephesians chapter 4. And let's start in verse 17. And I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. I want to go down all the way to 32, I think. So, I know when you have someone, you know, someone's reading a lot, you have a tendency to just roll your eyes back and go, pay attention, pay attention. So this I say and solemnly testify in the name of the Lord as in His presence, that you must no longer live as the heathen, the Gentiles, do in their perverseness, in the folly, the vanity, and the emptiness of their souls and the futility of their minds. Their moral understanding is darkened and their reasoning is beclouded. They are alienated. They're estranged, self-banished from the life of God with no share in it. This is because of the ignorance, the want of knowledge and perception, the willful blindness. The willful blindness. The willful blindness. They're willing to be blind. The willful blindness that is deep-seated in them due to their hardness of heart, to the insensitiveness of their moral nature. In their spiritual apathy, they have become callous and past feeling and reckless and have abandoned themselves a prey to the unbridled sensuality, eager and greedy to indulge in every form of impurity that their depraved desires may suggest and demand. That sounds like their choice. Willful blindness. They are choosing death, it sounds like to me. Verse 20, but you, say I, did not so learn Christ, assuming that you have really heard and been taught by Him as all truth is in Jesus, embodied and personified in Him. Strip yourselves of your former nature, put off and discard your old, unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through the lusts and desires that spring from delusion. And be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. And put on the new nature, the regenerate self created in God's image, Godlike, in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, rejecting all falsity and being done now with it, let everyone express the truth with his neighbor. For we are all parts of one body and members one of another. When angry, do not sin. Do not ever let your wrath, your exasperation, your fury, or indignation last until the sun goes down. Leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. That's why I was saying, when something comes on you, on your body, your physical body, cast it down immediately. Give no place to the enemy to use that. Cast it down. You know? Speak the word of God over your body. You know? Jesus and the stripes that He bore upon His back carried that sickness, that disease. I'm healed by those stripes. I'm healed by those stripes. I shall live and not die. Leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. Let the thief steal no more, but rather let him be industrious, making an honest living with his own hands, so that he may be able to give to those in need. Let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth. I think that bears repeating. Let this minister to you. Let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth. But only such speech that is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, that's God's favor, to those who hear it. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not offend or vex or sadden Him, by whom you were sealed, marked, branded as God's own, secured for the day of redemption, a final deliverance through Christ from evil and from the consequences of sin. Let all bitterness and indignation and wrath, that is passion, rage, bad temper, and resentment, anger, animosity, and quarreling, brawling, clamor, contention, and slander, evil speaking, abusive, or blasphemous language be banished from you with all malice, and become useful and helpful and kind to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another readily and freely as God in Christ forgave you. Are you getting the picture of how important your words are? Are you getting a picture in your brain, right, Reg? You getting that picture in your brain of how important your words are? I wrote this, we have to train our brain to auto-respond to certain things positively and not negatively. Auto-respond. Anybody use email to communicate? And you can set up your email if you're on vacation to auto-respond. Hey, I'm on vacation. I'm down on the beach. You know, got my toes in the sand. I'm sorry you're still working, but I'm not. We need to train our brain to auto-respond to these things with the Word of God coming out of our mouth. We have to talk about casting down imaginations immediately and then speak it out of our mouth. I will live and not die. I will live and not die. In software, there's something called an iteration. I'm going to give you the definition of it, because how many know what iteration is? A procedure in which repetition of a sequence of operations yields results successively closer to the desired result. Let me read it again. A procedure in which repetition of a sequence of operations yields results successively closer to a desired result. What is the desired result? The desired result is we want the Word of God to come forth out of our mouth. We want to believe in our heart, speak it out of our mouth, right? But how many know that doesn't always happen? That doesn't always happen in our life. You know, we get mad at the kids and we yell at them, and then, you know, later we feel guilty because we yelled at them because it really wasn't that big of a deal when it comes down to it. Well, we want a better iteration the next time. We want to get closer to what the Word of God says about that, you know? But I mean, isn't that how God, He had mercy on us? His mercies are new each and every morning. His iterations, if I can put it that way. You know, Reggie talked about that when he was talking about how getting a picture in your brain, your faith. And every time you miss it, God is so merciful. He'll give us another chance. Every time you miss it, you can get closer to that desired result. Listen, this isn't a Tony Robbins class, okay? But the principle is true. It is true. Positive affirmations can and do help when they align with the Scripture. When they align with the Scripture. And really, it's just speaking the Word. It's just speaking the Word, Gene. Isn't that what Jesus did? He said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. We are just speaking the Word. Speaking the Word. So anybody ever heard that? I don't know who came up with it. Ben Franklin, maybe? I don't remember. I'm healthy, wealthy, and wise. Y'all remember that saying? I'm healthy, wealthy, and wise. Well, every day you can say that I'm healthy, wealthy, and wise and believe it in your heart. Because why? Jesus bought and paid for our healing, so you're healthy. The Abraham of blessing is for us all, so you're wealthy. And Scripture says, if any lack wisdom, just ask. Just ask. He'll give it to you liberally. 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 When you speak, you are activating the Word of God that is in your heart. Now, this is important. Vain repetition gains you nothing. But when you speak what you are believing, what is in your heart, if it ain't in your heart, if you're not believing it in your heart, that's vain repetition. You're just saying words over and over, or saying words that you really don't believe in. So you're not going to see any fruit from that. I believe, therefore I spoke. So what you believe in your heart and speak forth out of your mouth, activates that word. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4. This is good stuff, y'all. This is life. This is life. You are activating the Word of God in your heart when you speak it out of your mouth. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, out of the Amplified, reads, "For the Word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, that is the soul and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart." That's what the Word of God does. It really exposes what's in our heart. Really, our words expose what is in our heart. Whether they're words of death, it exposes what is in our heart. Or if they're words of life, it exposes what is in our heart. What are you putting in is what's going to come out. Are you putting fear and death and all the things of this world in? Well, guess what? When your time of trial, that's what's going to come out. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. But if you're putting words of life, the Word of God in your heart, sowing it into your heart, that word is being sown into the good ground of your heart. And you're believing that. In your times of trial, that's what's going to come out. I shall live and not die. I shall live and not die. Luke 6, 45, I'll just read it. "The upright, honorable, intrinsically good man out of the good treasure stored in his heart produces what is upright, honorable, and intrinsically good. And the evil man out of the evil storehouse brings forth that which is depraved, wicked, and intrinsically evil. For out of the abundance, the overflow of the heart, his mouth speaks." When you speak, it exposes your heart. Proverbs 10:32, I'll read this. You don't have to turn there. "The lips of the uncompromisingly righteous know and therefore utter, speak what is acceptable. But the mouth of the wicked knows and therefore speaks only what is obstinately willful and contrary." Life and death. We're speaking life or death continually. One or the other. It's like light and dark. They can't coexist. Life and death, it can't coexist. So you're speaking one or the other. You're speaking one or the other every time. Every word that comes out of your mouth. You know, the Bible says that we will have to account for every idle word that comes out of our mouth. Are you getting the picture how important our words are in everyday life? I'm not talking about in your prayer time. I'm talking about everyday life, the importance of our words and why we need to think before we speak. I wrote this down. I'll just throw this out there and see what y'all think. We'll throw it out there and see if it sticks. That's how we test our spaghetti. Anybody do that? When you boil your spaghetti, you take one of the spaghetti noodles out, you throw it on the fridge. If it sticks, then it's done. If it doesn't, it's got a little more cooking to do. Am I the only one that does that? Am I the one that finds spaghetti noodles, you know, under the fridge when we go to clean? I wrote down that I said, every choice you make leads to the death of something. Well, that's not very uplifting. Every choice you make leads to the death of something. If you choose life, then you are dying to that old man. If you choose death, then that new man is dying. So how do we choose? With our words. Choose with our words. He sets before us death and life. Choose life. How do I choose? With my mouth. With my mouth. With my mouth. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. We have to, church, we have to get serious about our words. This church has been preaching faith for 36 plus years. And we've always talked, Pastor Rob and Tricia have always talked about the power of our words. Always. But we got to get serious about it. I mean, it's all in you. Listen, it should be down in your heart. If you've been here any time at all, it should be down in your heart. We got to get serious about it. We got to get serious about the power of our words and what we're speaking in our everyday life. In our everyday life. What is the first thing that comes out of your mouth when something happens? What is the first thing that comes out of your mouth? Some of us think, wow, if we do... If we don't cuss at it, we're doing pretty good. Well, let's take it up a little step. Let's set the bar a little bit higher. Colossians chapter 3. Starting in verse 1. And I'm going to go down to 17. Colossians 1. No. Did I say that? 3, verse 1. Let me read out of the Amplified. If then you have been raised with Christ to new life, thus sharing His resurrection from the dead, and I believe we all have in here, I pray that we have, all been raised with Christ to a new life, then let us aim at and seek the rich, eternal treasures that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not on the things of that are on the earth. For as far as this world is concerned, you have died, and your new, real life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in the splendor of His glory. So kill, deaden, deprive the power of the evil desire lurking in your members, those animal impulses and all that is earthly in you that is employed in sin, that sexual vice, impurity, sensual appetites, unholy desires, and all greed and covetousness. For that is idolatry, the defying of self and other created things instead of God. The deifying, I'm sorry. It is on account of these very sins that the holy anger of God is ever coming upon the sons of disobedience, those who are obstinately opposed to the divine will, among whom you also once walked when you were living in and addicted to such practices, but now put away and rid yourselves completely of all these things: anger, rage, bad feeling towards others. Some of us need some help there, praise God. Curses and slander and foul-mouthed abuse and shameful utterances from your lips. Do not lie to one another, for you have stripped off the old unregenerate self with its evil practices, and have clothed yourselves with the new spiritual self, which is ever in the process of being renewed and remolded into fuller and more perfect knowledge upon knowledge, after the image, the likeness of Him who created it. In this new creation, all distinctions vanish, There is no room for, and there can be neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, nor difference between nations, whether alien, barbarians, or Scythians, who are the most savage of all, nor slave or free man. But Christ is all and in all, everything and everywhere to all men, without distinction of person. Clothe yourselves, therefore, as God's own chosen ones, His own picked representatives, who are purified and holy and well-beloved by God Himself, by putting on behavior marked by tender-hearted pity and mercy, kind feeling, a lowly opinion of yourselves, gentle ways and patience, which is tireless and long-suffering and has the power to endure whatever comes with good temper. Be gentle and forbearing with one another, and if one has a difference, a grievance, or a complaint against another, readily pardoning each other, even as the Lord has freely forgiven you, so must you also forgive. And above all these, put on love, and enfold yourselves with the bond of perfectness which binds everything together completely in ideal harmony. And let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ rule, act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state, to which as members of Christ, one body, you were also called to live. And be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. Let the words spoken by Christ, the Messiah, have its home in your hearts and minds, and dwell in you in all its richness, as you teach and admonish and train one another in all insight and intelligence and wisdom in spiritual things, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody to God with His grace in your hearts. And whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence upon His person, giving praise to God the Father through Him. Amen. Everything we do in word and deed, do it in the name of Jesus, your Lord and Savior. Everything. Our words are important. So as we go throughout our week, as we go throughout our day, each and every day, let's focus on that. Let's draw attention to what we are speaking, what is coming out of our mouth. When people engage us, you know, what are we saying back to them? Are they words of life to edifying? Are they words of death to tearing down? You know, in a marriage relationship, you see this all the time. You know, I mean, the very one person that God has called you to be an example of really Himself to us, the marriage is that intimate. And yet we see that happening all the time, where we tear each other down with our words. It ought not be so. But as we've, you know, 22 years, you know, it's like that word, iteration. Every time you do something and it doesn't get the result you're expecting, the next one should get closer. So in 22 years of marriage, we've learned to forgive quickly. It's not that we're not perfect. We've learned to forgive quickly. So in the beginning, man, I think there was one time, it might have been a week, we didn't really speak. Early in the marriage, right? Where we were just angry and just over something probably so stupid. Looking back, so ridiculous. But now, man, I don't know if it's minutes that pass when, you know, we just forgive and move on. Repent if need be. Apologize. We cast that down quickly. cast it down quickly. So we need to understand our words. We need to understand the damage that our words can do. We need to understand the life that our words can bring to ourselves, to our physical body, right? To our mental state. If you're not born again, to your spirit, man. It's words. Believing and speaking. And let me finish with this. Turn to James chapter 3. This came up in class, and so I wanted to tag it on the end here, because I think this sums up everything that I've been talking about. James chapter 3. Let's start in verse 2. For we all often stumble and fall and offend in many things. And if anyone does not offend in speech, never says the wrong things, he is a fully developed character and a perfect man. I got a ways to go. My wife is a witness. Able to control his whole body and to curb his entire nature. If we set bits in the horses' mouths to make them obey us, we can turn their whole bodies about. Likewise, look at the ships. Though they are so great and are driven by rough winds, they are steered by a very small rudder. Wherever the impulse of the helmsman determines. Wherever the impulse of the helmsman determines. You are the helmsman. You have control over this. And wherever it goes, the rest of your being is going to follow. So are you choosing life? And are you following that? Or are you choosing death? And are you following that? It's your choice. It's your choice. It's your choice. Even so, verse 5, the tongue is a little member and it can boast of great things. See how much wood or how great a forest a tiny spark can set ablaze, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is a world of wickedness set among our members, contaminating and depraving the whole body and setting on fire the wheel of birth, the cycle of man's nature, being itself ignited by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea animal can be tamed and has been tamed by human genius, but the human tongue can be tamed by no man. It is a restless, undisciplined, irreconcilable evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and the Father, and with it we curse men who were made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come forth blessing and cursing. These things, brethren, ought not be so. Does a fountain send forth simultaneously from the same opening fresh water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine figs? Neither can a salt spring furnish fresh water. Who is there among you who is wise and intelligent? Then let him by his noble living show forth his good works with the unobtrusive humility, which is the proper attribute of true wisdom. And that's why I paused there for a second when I said control your words. But with the help of Jesus, the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, we can choose life. Every day. Every day. It's a process every day to choose life. So we should do things to help us, right? We should do things to help us to choose life with our words. You know, I've never been a big fan of post-it notes, you know, in throughout the house. We've done it from time to time, and, you know, there may be some on our fridge now. And I just was, anybody watch that horrible game Saturday? There was only one horrible game that I'm aware of. In my mind. But I don't know if you heard the announcer talking about, you know, how Willis and Hazleton have a connection. You know, the quarterback and the wide receiver. They have this connection with one another. And they've been tearing it up. And so they were talking about, you know, they're actually roommates. And they were saying that when they were on the scout team, you know, they were wreaking havoc on the first team defense there at Tech. And so they were talking a little bit about it, more about it. They interviewed Willis, the quarterback, and he said, yeah, you know, Hazleton, he's just, and I'm paraphrasing, he edifies me all the time. He's got all these little post-it notes or postcards in his in the room there, and they're all positive. Yeah, I don't know if he used the word positive affirmations, and they read a couple of them, but I don't know, Hazleton, I don't know if he's a believer. I would sense from what the commentator was sharing of how he was saying, Willis was saying, he always lifts him up, and I would assume that he is, but... So he's got these things all over their room, and it's impacting Willis. And you can't deny the chemistry in their relationship, at least on the field. Again, I don't know either one of them personally, never met them. Just an example of how putting these things before our eyes and in our ears, right? We used to teach the youth all the time, protect your eye gates and your ear gates. What are you putting before your eyes? What is going in to your heart via your eyes and your ears? Because what is going in is eventually going to come out through your words. And they're either going to be words of life or death. So put words of life in, right? Put words of life in. So that we can all live and live for God. Because that's really the end result. We certainly want to increase in and of ourselves, right? But to what end? So that we can go out and share it with someone else that's hurting in that same situation or a similar situation that we've come through, because we speak words of life and we can speak those words of life to them and they can overcome. Right? We want to increase. We want to walk in that abundant life so that we can help someone else out there, outside of these four walls. So that's my encouragement to you today. The power of the tongue. It's creative. It brings life or death. So choose wisely. And I, like the scripture, encourage you to choose life. To choose life. To choose life. Amen. This is the season we are in. Our words have much impact, so let's use them to impact the world for the kingdom. Amen?